Hello, big little bestie. Welcome to After Bedtime. And today we're talking about why shy is not a bad thing. In fact, it is a superpower. And we are going to unlock all the secrets to raising secure, confident, self-assured kids. Besties, you know that After Bedtime, this is a podcast where we navigate the wild world of parenting after our little ones have gone to sleep. But we can't forget our other little babies, our furry little troublemakers, our dogs. I have a little pug. His name is Moki and we call him Momo, and he really is my number one baby. He was my first child. And at the same time, as much as we love our pets, we know they can get into some trouble sometimes. Let me tell you about a time that my sweet, sweet baby Moki got into a bit of trouble. My one-year-old was just learning how to do solids. He's practicing. I gave him a huge lamb bone. And the baby, being a baby, accidentally dropped it on the floor. And within seconds, I kid you not, I looked over. Before I could grab it, Moki inhaled the lamb bone all 6 inches in a pug down his throat. It was horrifying. We rushed him to an emergency vet, and thankfully, it was a 3-day journey. He is okay, but trust me, the vet bills, they were no joke. Speaking of which, we wanted to share a message from our partner Spot Pet Insurance, because Spot Pet Insurance plans can offer up to 90% cash back on eligible vet bills. Which sounds like a game changer and something I wish I had on the Moki Lambone fiasco. Honestly, like, it was bad on top of bad when I got the bill. But now, imagine getting up to 90% cash back on that bill. And the Spot Pet Insurance Plan offers not only coverage for accidents and illness plans, but an optional preventative care benefit as well to help with the cost for routine wellness, vaccines, and more. And if you catch yourself thinking like, is it expensive? Let me tell you, it is probably less expensive than the unexpected $1,800 vet bill that I got served. Go to spotpetinsurance.com today and get a free quote instantly. It's very easy. Disclaimer, paid ad for Spot Pet Insurance. Waiting periods, annual deductible, coinsurance, benefit limits, and exclusions may apply. For all terms, visit spotpetins.com/sample-policy. Insurance plans are underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC.
Finally, here we are. It's after bedtime, the kids are asleep, and it is time to get down. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Dina. We're the duo behind the ever-popular Instagram account Big Little Feelings, which helps you navigate all things parenthood.
But this is not a boring parenting podcast. There will be inappropriate jokes, we will be getting down and dirty, so put those babies to bed, and let's have fun.
Kristen!
Ooh!
It didn't work. I had to shimmy to get that out. It's just, I'm forcing it so hard.
Can you try it again?
Yeah. Kristen!
I feel like you gotta mean it. You gotta mean it.
Let me try again. Okay. Sorry.
Not that I do it better anyways, but.
Kristen!
Why do you have to shimmy when you do it? Should I be shimmying when I do it?
I don't know. I'm going to cry.
Dina.
My voice literally can't. It just can't like stop this.
Yeah. It's like. Yeah. It's like. Well, I feel like some people are singy people.
Yeah.
To be fair. And like.
That's true.
I have a horrible voice and I should never sing, but I'm a singy person. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. You started off in a singing thing every time. I love that.
Thank you.
I can't do that.
I mean, I think it's mildly annoying, but like some people just have to break out in song.
Yeah.
You just need some joy.
Big little bestie, thanks for accepting me as I am.
Oh, thank you. I was going to say thank you for accepting me as I am and apologies, big little bestie.
I'm so sorry. That probably hurt your ears.
Singing into your ears. welcome to another episode of After Bedtime. I feel like we're mildly delusional on today's episode of After Bedtime because Dina and I low-key had, when I say back-to-back Zoom calls, I mean 8 a.m., until 3 p.m. There was not like a minute that I was had not to a take Zoom call.
Zoom calls into the bathroom. Me too. It was like that.
And then the anxiety. We're like, am I really on mute? Am I for sure on mute? Okay.
Like, it's definitely. I'm not. What if the video comes on? What if the video is malfunctioning and you can see me?
Yeah. So welcome to a delusional episode of After Bedtime.
We are tired.
We're tired, but we're together.
I'm extra tired.
I feel good.
I love that for you.
I feel like I'm in a fake good phase because I was just so looking forward to this where like I didn't think I would make it here. And then now that I'm here, I'm just so stoked.
Look at you. So resilient.
I needed this is what I'm saying. Yeah. I needed this. Like it was a long day of work and then I'm going to be very honest right now. I'm going to be very honest and try not to cry. Not my best work of parenting after work. Mm. Not my best move. And like, I've been having a good streak, like a really good streak, you know, where I'm just like, I'm doing this. Like I might not be doing work and I might, there are other things that are failing. Like certain things are failing, but you know, I feel like I was like on good ground. And then tonight I was just like a little bit overstimulated, overtouched. Like, you know, I was just, and what I need is like a bestie session. I just need a minute to be not working and not with my kids.
We all have those moments. Thanks. And truthfully, that was me last week. So I feel you.
That feels better to hear.
It's all of us.
That feels nice.
It happens.
Ugh,
and you are a good mom.
You know that annoying thing where you have to like take the advice that we give? Yeah. That's what we're like literally,
it's
happening, I'm like, okay, what would I say? Like, it's okay. It's okay to snap. It's okay to have a bad day. We're going to come back from this tomorrow. I have to do all the things that we said. So this is my version, by the way. We always say you repair with your kids. I did that.
Good job.
And then you restore and big little bestie, like this session is me restoring. I need to be in our basement right now with a glass of wine, with my best friend and all of my big little besties. And just relax for a second while my husband does all three bedtimes. There's nothing wrong with that.
There is nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I am bone tired, but I'm in that weird phase. Tell me if this has ever happened to you.
Yeah.
Where your period is 2 days late. Mm-hmm. Like, it's for sure coming. I am PMSing. That's why I'm so tired. But my mind keeps going, but what if?
Oh, of course.
Like, what if you're pregnant?
Not only is it every time, but it's like 5 days before even.
Yeah.
But like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
2 days late.
I'm so tired. My periods have gotten so bad after having kids.
I know this about you. I know. You keep going to doctors.
I've been to three.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is a thing.
I know.
And I mean, as your best friend, I feel so helpless. And I just feel like it's really like it is something every month. Like,
no, it's this so is real. Painful every month. And it's like different painful than I went to PT for a long time right after I had my second baby. Mm. And that helped with all the things like right in the immediate recovery. But now I have this lingering thing where the periods are so, so painful. I've been to three doctors and I feel like they all kind of just dismiss me a little bit where they're like, oh yeah, well, that can happen sometimes. And I'm like, okay, but like at this level feels really alarming. So if we could just dig a little deeper here.
If I may, like I watched you push a baby out unmedicated and you barely flinched. You know, there's context.
High pain tolerance.
There's context here. I watched you get a tattoo on your ribs and you asked, have they started yet?
I'm crazy. B, I pay tolerance.
No, it's more like, I mean, I'm sorry. But also, are you pregnant? Is what we're discovering on the podcast.
I don't think so, but TBD, and I'll circle back.
Yeah, please circle back with all the besties because I'm sure I'm dying to know. So I'm surprised you haven't taken a test yet, though, because I feel like it's very us, like big little bestie. If you are like us and you maybe have a touch of anxiety.
It's so fun.
Maybe every month for a while there, even 5 days before leading up, like taking test after test after test. I feel like we were both in a phase there for a while.
I have a test in my bag right there.
I knew it.
But
I
I'm waiting for the morning pee.
I knew it. And this, like, I did this like 3 months ago, by the way. It was like, I don't even understand why.
I remember when you did.
Do you remember this one? Yeah. Because to be fair, it was very late.
Yeah,
but true. Like, it's not that easy for us. Like, we need assistance. We need IVF. But still, there is just something in you, right, that is just like, I need to take a test. Yeah. I need to take a test.
Okay, I'll circle back.
All right, great. I can't wait to find out. And speaking of pregnancy tests and circling back, shy kids. Let's talk about shy kids.
Sorry. Yeah. Was that your segue? Was just
Dina, okay. You're normally in charge of the segues. And yeah, we have talked about how delusional we are tonight. We're just operating.
That's true.
We're just operating on a really, like, the hamster is in the wheel and just, come on.
She needs an IV.
Just a little more, just one more step, you know? We're just trying to rub the two brain cells together.
The last two. Let's do it.
Okay, shy kids, let's go.
Okay, we're big believers that small, easy changes can have big results. And that goes for your skincare routine too. These days, it's so confusing to know what product works for this and that and which work together in what order. So I'm just gonna make it easy for you. The Work System from Dime Beauty. Dime Beauty is clean, it's high-end skincare that's affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean either. And when I say clean, by the way, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I do not have time to remember a 10-step routine. The Work System is everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers. Plus, with spring and summer around the corner, I love anything with sunscreen. Their Tinted Glow Wonder Screen with SPF 30 just came out in new shades, and it's amazing. Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. Love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. Dimebeautyco.com. It's about time you've checked out Dime. If you follow us on Instagram, you know that Moki, my pug, he is my number one baby. He's my firstborn. I love him so much. But if I'm being really, really honest, ever since having kids, he doesn't get the attention that he used to. I do my best, but there's a lot going on. But one thing that makes me feel really good is we recently switched his food to the farmer's dog. And I cannot tell you how happy this little pug is every morning and every night when he's about to eat. Even my husband commented yesterday, he's like, I've never seen Moki prance around so excited. He loves this food. And I've noticed a difference where he does look happier, he has more energy, he just looks like a healthier dog. The Farmer's Dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food. It's recommended by vets, nutritionally balanced, and it's made from human-grade ingredients in safe, clean kitchens. Honestly, when you pour it, you can tell how real and how clean this food is. In hindsight now, I can really see how, like, traditional dry and wet dog food options are extremely processed, and they can use so much lower quality ingredients than they claim to, and they're extremely difficult to portion accurately. And if you're using dry food or like store-bought food, no guilt. I did it for a really long time, but I now notice such a difference since I've switched him, which is why I'm here sharing the Farmer's Dog with you so you can incorporate it into your family. And one little detail that I love, it makes life easier, is the Farmer's Dog isn't just higher quality food. They also send you the right pre-portioned size specifically for your dog based on their unique nutritional needs. This makes it really easy to help your dog reach and stay at their ideal weight, which is one of the biggest indicators of a full, healthy life. In fact, dogs at healthy weights can live as much as 16% longer than overweight ones, and that's 2.5 years. A fresh diet has been found to have all sorts of benefits, from healthier coat and skin to better breath and even easier digestion and smaller, better poops. Yes, poops matter. A healthy diet isn't just important for humans. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/feelings. Let the Farmer's Dog know that we sent you. Use our code or click podcast after you sign up for your first box.
Okay, so I want to start by talking about the concept of shyness in general, because I feel like for our generation, when we were younger, right, it was always like you wanted your kid to be outgoing. Outgoing was the best thing ever. And now I feel like it's kind of amazing because our culture, our society is embracing this idea that you don't have to be one way. Like mm-hmm. you can be a lot of different ways. And even if you're talking about just being introverted versus outgoing, like that's cool, neurodivergent. Like there's all different kinds of ways that we can be these days. And it's not so much where it's like, you better get out there and you better be the most social. It's like, you can be yourself.
Exactly. There is such a wide spectrum of how we can all just be humans.
Yeah. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. As two introverts.
It's refreshing.
Yes.
Two introverts. It's really nice.
Yeah. And so this idea of shyness, because I was labeled as shy all the time. Mm-hmm. And we still, as parents, I think it's so tempting because we don't want our kids to have a hard life. Like, we want them to flourish. And I think while we're sort of doing it, and I don't know if you agree, Dina, mm-hmm. I feel like we're doing it for adults. Like, I feel like adults, and now with Instagram and social media, we're like, be you, have different bodies, have different personalities, introverted, yes. extroverted, neurodivergent. And when it comes to kids, I don't know if you feel the same way, but it's like we still have that pressure inside of us as parents that we don't necessarily pass those values down.
I agree. And it feels like with shyer kids, there's still that pressure like, no, no, get out there, try it. Be confident, be a leader, you know, yeah. like try it out.
Yeah.
I think that the myth we need to bust is that outgoing kids are the confident ones. And I get it. I see why that would be logical because those kids are the ones who they'll just jump into anything. They look like leaders, like they'll just join right in. And but here's the thing. Shy kids are actually incredibly confident and self-assured mm-hmm. and self-aware. Mm-hmm. And it's an incredible thing because when you really dig down under it, kids who seem shyer, what they're actually doing is noticing how they feel and they're honoring their needs. They're not ready to jump in there yet. They're assessing what's going on. They feel safest by you. They're taking their time before they just jump in.
And what a skill to have. And by the way, no one kid is better than the other, right? Mm-hmm. Like the kid who jumps in and just yeah. goes in, like that's actually what we're trying to debunk here. Because for so long, that kid was seen as the better kid or the outgoing kid or,
exactly.
or what all kids should be doing. All kids should just blindly
go in. Like the
gold
standard yeah. of children.
And there are different types of people in this world. And there's different types of kids. And like in our business, right, there's a creative, crazy type. Me. And then there's like the logical one that's not going to let the like who's literally keeping the whole thing afloat. You need to have both kinds of people.
Each kind of kid has their own superpowers that are going to be yes. incredibly important if you can harness those later in life.
And that kid who's standing off to the side, you have to think about this in 10 in 15 years. Now, listen, that person wants to just like in 10, 15 years, jump off the side of the rock when they're 15 years old or take a lot of risks. And that's a whole different kind of kid. And you're going to let that kid fly. And that's kind of the foundation of everything we're doing here, like at BLF and with this generation, is like that kid is listening to their inner voice and their body mm-hmm. and they're risk takers and they're going for it. And that's not better or worse than the kid who's maybe sitting in a car at age 15, 16, 17, or they're at a party. And just because everyone is doing something, they're not going to blindly suppress what's happening inside of them and just get out there and go do it, right? They're gonna stand off to the side and they're gonna assess the situation and they're gonna maybe like cling to their safe person. Maybe it's their best friend or maybe it's you on the phone, by the way, with them. And they're gonna go, mom, like something doesn't feel right. And so why not foster that at this young age of being like, this is exactly what you want your kid to do when they're 15, 16, 20, 25.
So when they're little, you're exactly right. Kids who seem shyer, they are secure kids. They understand what's happening in them and they are honoring their needs. And we do want to foster that without making them feel bad.
Yeah. just like we're fostering the other kid who's like going out there and you're like, woohoo, go do it, Danny. You're like, woohoo, yay, Mary, stay right next to me, you know?
Exactly. Both cheer them both are great
on.
Kids.
Yeah.
Basically, what happens is when we label kids as shy, we're basically telling them, this is what you are. And so this is how you should be acting, right? You are a shy kid. You should be acting shy. And that can get internalized, become their inner voice, and basically become this self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. I mean, that deeply resonates, like, as a very, very shy kid who is now like pretty introverted person. People are always so surprised that both of us are introverted, by the way, because we're on social media and we're like, duh, I'm standing alone in a room with just my phone.
By myself.
It's the perfect job for an introvert, but we still get to have community and like all these friends. It's exactly. Amazing.
It's a dream.
It deeply resonates because I remember as a kid, I was so shy. I was nervous too. I really was not actually a risk taker. And I just remember, like, in early childhood, every adult was always telling me, and they were talking about me while I'm standing there and being like, well, she's just really shy. She's just really shy. And it just became this thing where I remember everyone who knew me as a kid said that I sat in a corner and I would read a book. And so I was, quote unquote, the perfect kid. I was the perfect kid.
Easy.
I was so easy because I was silent and I was in a corner with a book. And what happened, unfortunately, is that as I got older and more people kept telling me, like, get out there, you're fine, go do it, it's fun, get out there. But my body was like, I don't like this. Like, I kind of want to be inside. Like, I don't know that I really like being out here with all these people. I kind of want to whatever. What I learned was by doing this year after year after year was really to stop listening to any inner voice. And that sounds dramatic, but it's true. Mm-hmm. I really learned, okay, be more like this person, be more like that person. What is she doing? Oh, okay, be more like your sister. Right, okay. So she does this and that's how you do it. So what I learned was by the time I turned 15, 16, 17, I was a nightmare. I was a bad kid. We've told this story time and time again. I was walking out of detention as you were walking into school. I was a bad kid, and the reason why was anytime someone would say, hey, come do this, I'd be like, okay. At any time that we were at a party or we were out or this is a bad decision, I'm like, all right, you guys are doing it. Let's go do it. Awesome.
You weren't a bad kid. You had totally disconnected from your internal compass, though.
That's kind of you. I was really bad.
Okay. I adapted the exact other way. But really, you were someone who totally detached from your own feelings, your needs, and your inner voice.
Yeah. And I do just wish, then it sounds a little bit bigger. Like, obviously, you can encourage your child to do things, and we will get there later in the podcast. This does not mean, by the way, that you never encourage them to try new things or to be brave. No. It was what you were saying, which is this label of like shy, and you shouldn't be this way. You should be more like this. Like, get out there. There has to kind of be this happy medium where it's like, okay, listen to that inner voice. What is it saying, right? And like, okay, let's work through this together. Like, is this a safe moment? Is this an unsafe moment? And just kind of having your parent, your partner, to discover that together rather than just this blanket, get out there, go do it, be confident, because that really, truly did lead to later in life suppressing any inner voice at all and just blindly following the pact.
It makes so much sense, though, as a therapist, because when it comes to brain science, when someone is feeling nervous and they're not feeling safe, the more we push, the more they panic.
Yeah.
Right? So you can be their safe person, when you can take that pressure off, it's a game changer.
Yeah. And you just allow your kid to be who they are while still fostering how to work through this hard moment together.
Exactly. You nailed it. Let's talk about then how to foster this resilience, how to build confident kids and help them be themselves.
Because the kid is already confident. That's the
it.
Ironic part is that the kid who's off to the side is no less self-assured than the kid who's jumping in there. They are both the most self-assured, confident kids ever. And yep. How do you foster both kids to just be uniquely themselves?
You nailed it. There are things that we can start doing today to help our kids just tap into that confidence and shift it into like full on thriving mode, by the way.
Can I just ask you? Mm-hmm. Can I just ask you? Ask we me. Both know this. Tell we're me. About to shift into this. But as a parent, low key, even though we know all of this, and even though we're in 2023, and even though we're accepting of ourselves, I struggled with this a lot. Like it's when hard. My kid couldn't get on the bike and they were so nervous to get on the bike, or they can't get into the party. It's hard being in these literal situations. We know what we want for our kids long term, but like being in that exact scenario, your kid is clinging to you, you're at a birthday party. This is hard.
It is so hard, especially because you're this adult who has lived life. You know it's not dangerous.
Yeah.
And all you want to do is see your kid have fun and thrive and do new things that you know they're going to love.
Yes.
It's so tempting.
Okay, so what do we do exactly in the moment? Leg clinging, not getting out there, so scared, so nervous, so shy. Or they're just kind of like assessing the situation. What are we doing?
Number one thing.
Yeah.
Okay the feelings. Mm. Let them know that it's okay to feel scared and it's okay to feel nervous. You can let them know and then flip it around and be like, you know what? I feel nervous sometimes too. That has such a big impact.
When I hear, may I pause for a second? When I hear my husband throw out a, you know, when I was a kid, I used to feel nervous too when I would go down the slide.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
That is the game changer. You know why? Because they feel less alone in it. And even as an adult human being, I'm like, I want someone to say that to me, where I'm like, they're feeling scared. They're feeling nervous. That's
you
not going away.
You feel less alone in real talk. Mm. You don't feel effed up. You know what I mean?
Yes. Like I used to feel that way too. And it opens
it's all of us.
It opens their like the conversation where it's like, oh man, dad, you're so strong. Dad, you felt that way too.
Exactly.
My favorite tip.
So the next thing that we can do.
What's up?
Wait, what are you doing here?
What are you doing?
Kids are asleep.
What? Oh my God. No, sit down.
After
jump
bedtime.
In. Get in here. Get in here.
You literally called it that. You can't be mad.
I'm not mad at this.
Please maybe do join just like us.
It's the name.
Halfway through. Okay, I'm going to release like
the name of it.
The perfection
don't
of
call it after
here.
Bedtime. Okay. If it's not for after bedtime.
Do you have the monitor? Like, may I ask you?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
All right. Well, welcome.
Wow. Big little besties.
Deep hype squad in the house.
Hello, everyone.
A true surprise for everyone involved.
I skipped the boardroom for this one.
Were you just like feeling
over
the
road?
You put all the kids down. You were just feeling a little lonely, or
a little
like...
lonely, a little bored.
I get that.
Okay,
you know,
hey, this is he's great. Speaking his truth,
just
and that's
wanted to come hang out with my besties.
My besties.
I'm a big little bestie too.
You sure are.
Wow. Okay. Well, we're just gonna like dive in.
Go for it. Where are we?
We sure are.
What are we talking about? What are we talking about?
We are talking about shy kids and how it is not a weakness. Okay. It's actually
right
a it's super
not.
Strength.
It is. I agree.
I want to hear tip two.
I would love to.
Okay.
I would love to.
I'm also very happy you're here.
What
by
was
the
tip
way.
One?
Okay, their feelings.
Okay.
And so now
okay.
tip two okay. is. When your kid is feeling shy, they are feeling nervous, they are feeling scared, you are going to be their safe person, okay? You're going to be the home base. Mm-hmm. Let them stay with you. This helps their brain feel safe and calm down when you let them know, listen, you can stay with me until you feel ready.
And honestly, we're like fast forwarding 15, 20 years.
Yes.
That's literally what I do in everything that I'm thinking about with parenting, where it's like, okay, they're at the party. They're uncomfortable. They're in a car, right? And what we want them to do is to think, all right, I need to go outside. I need to call my mom. I need to call my dad. I need to call my best friend. I have a safe person that I'm going to go talk to that's not going to like dismiss me. They're not going to, like, they're going to hear me and they're going to hear my feelings and I'm going to call that trusted person.
Exactly. This shifts their brain into such a different place. Mm. Once they feel safe, they'll feel ready to explore faster. So another thing that we can do is narrate. Narrating is when we kind of look around, we help them, we're like, oh yeah, look, that kid's going down the slide. And oh yeah, that girl over there, look, she's reading some books. We're helping them feel calm, feel comfortable without pushing them to get out there. But we're inching forward by just noticing what other people are doing.
And like, this does not sound like, I'm looking at Tyler. This does not, what this doesn't sound like is, oh, look, like Johnny's going down the slide. Like Johnny's having such a good time. Don't you see that? You should, why don't you go be like Johnny?
You'll
like,
love it.
Could, look, he's having so much fun. No, it's more a neutral narration of what is happening in the room, at the party, wherever you are, you're at the park, just narrating even somebody else who might be feeling nervous, right? So normalizing what is happening around them. Look, Johnny's going down this slide. Oh, look over here. Margot is sitting with her mommy. Maybe she's feeling a little nervous too. You're just kind of narrating everything that's happening in front of them to make them feel more comfortable in their environment.
Right. The whole time, just letting them stay with you until they're ready to go explore.
Yep.
Nailed it.
Great job, guys.
Okay. Another game. Another game changing tip. Honestly, do not sleep on this one, is prep. Letting your kid know before you go somewhere, especially if you know that they're a little more cautious, they're a little bit more reserved, they want to check out things and feel comfortable in new situations, prep. Let them know what they can expect, what's going to happen, who's going to be there. Because for all of us as humans, unfamiliar, new things, they are scary. We don't know what's going to happen, but if we can mentally prepare and understand what we're walking into, it is a game changer.
And for toddlers, that's next level, because like the memory, it's just not there. So even if they've already done it, even if it seems redundant, we want to keep doing it over and over and over.
You know what? And I'm not the only person that feels this way. Mm. Perfect example of this as an adult is, how many of you guys check out the menu before you go to the restaurant?
You are not wrong.
Mm-hmm. I check out pictures of the restaurant. What does it look like there? Where is it? Where am I going to park? What am I going to eat?
This is low-key why I don't do new things, by the way, is the parking situation, by the way. Like, I'm not going to go to a new restaurant. Low-key why I'm
still married, because my husband does this part.
I do the parking,
truly,
too.
And it's, he picks everything that you like for you.
Yeah, he knows me so well.
Yeah, and like for me, it's just more like the creature of habit, you know? You're not going to go to a new place because you don't. I don't know what the parking is like. I don't know what's going to go into it. So if I were able to be prepped, like, okay, this is what the parking situation is. Yeah. That'd be better.
Here's the thing, though, is that I look at the menu and I'm like, man, I feel so comfortable. And I go into the restaurant, super comfortable in the restaurant. And then I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to eat.
Panic.
I panic. Panic choice every time.
And then I have to pick your meal every time.
No, you don't. You let me order the wrong thing and then go, shouldn't have done that.
Every time I'm like, listen to your body. What do you want? And then you order it. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, questionable choice, and then you do it, and
like
then
half the time you say it out loud.
Second,
too.
Yeah, of course. The second the waiter walks away, you're like, "That was a mistake. That was the worst choice. That was the worst choice." You know,
huge mistake.
Yeah. No, I'm just sitting here feeling grateful for once that I have a husband who literally knows exactly what to order for both of us. I don't say a word. I don't use a brain cell looking at a menu. Even I close
it's like
my
a spa
eyes.
Day for you.
Wow. I sip a little bubbly water and just relax.
Mike, you're doing a great job.
And
good
B,
job, Mike, you're doing a great job.
Good job, Mike. Oh my God. B, if I order wrong, when I say I mean he,
sure,
orders something I don't like.
It's not on you.
Guess what? He just gives me the plate I like.
Nice.
It's really nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
This isn't like, even, like, that wouldn't even work for us. Because, like, if Kristen had to order for me, she'd get it wrong 100% of the time.
Next tip. This is our final tip, and it's the most game-changing tip. And this is called tell the story. We talk about this time and time again in our course, on our Instagram page. Tell the story is after the scary moment, the nervous moment, especially if it's gone well, but even if it hasn't gone well, we're going to tell the story, okay? So this is what it sounds like. Earlier today, we were at the park. You were feeling really nervous and kind of scared. You were right in Mama's arms. Then you were watching people go down the slide. You really wanted to do the slide, but you were crying. You were so nervous. It's okay to feel nervous. I feel nervous too. Then we walked over to the slide and you wanted to try it. You still felt nervous, but you tried it. And when you went down, you liked it. You liked the slide. You loved it. You can feel both nervous and brave at the same time.
Exactly. And as a therapist, this is so key, because what we're doing every time we do that, we are taking that feeling of nervousness, and now we're also pairing it with being brave and trying something new and overcoming the fear. So next time they're feeling nervous, that's what gets triggered, is the nervousness, but also now that brave feeling and now that I'm going to give it a go feeling.
Right, because before that, it's like two separate incidents, you know, in toddlers' brains and everyone's brains, by the way. It's like, okay, I was feeling scared. I was crying. That sucked. And then you move on and it's like, oh, later on, I went down the slide and then that was fun. Whee! And when you're telling the story, what you're doing is you're sort of merging these two events in their brains over and over and over. So you're telling these stories of these times where they felt nervous and they felt brave all at the same time. So it becomes this inner dialogue where they start to understand, like, okay, sometimes when I feel nervous, I also feel brave and excited and fun and joy at the same time. Like, those two things can be hand in hand. And luckily you're in the room, because I feel like we just experienced this. We've been doing this for 7 years, or I've been doing this. Have you been doing Tell the Story for 7 years?
Definitely not.
Okay, cool. Okay, cool. I feel like I've been
I'm doing it now. I'm getting there. Great. You know?
First of all, it's true.
We all got to start somewhere.
You're doing great. That's right. But I feel like I've been putting in the work of, like, really trying to, you know, after bike rides, being nervous at parties, really putting in the work for 7 years on, like, okay, you were feeling nervous and then you tried it, and telling the story. And we recently had something where our oldest, she's seven, and she is a part of an activity, and the activity has a performance, and we won't go into too much detail, but she didn't want to do the performance, and it was because she was feeling kind of nervous and kind of scared, right? And at first, remember, you came to me and you were like, she's not doing it, we're done.
No, she's not doing it.
She's not doing it.
Pass.
You know? And I was like, well, I kind of want to explore, like, what's beyond that, like, what's behind this? Let's just be curious, right? So the next morning, go to her, what's behind this? It turns out, Mom, I'm feeling nervous. I'm feeling excited, but there's going to be a lot of people there and I want to do it, but I'm just kind of scared, right? And that was the moment that she kind of, in that conversation, put it together herself, where it's like, I'm feeling nervous. I'm feeling excited. I'm feeling nervous-cited. And I think I want to do it. And it was that 7 years of constant repetition of, like, sometimes you feel nervous, sometimes you feel excited. You can do both. You can feel nervous and excited. And it was this distinction of, listen, if she didn't want to do it, like, if she came and she was like, I don't want to do it, Mom. Like, that's not my thing. I don't like this. I'd be like, great. Awesome. Totally amazing. But since it was, well, I'm feeling scared. I'm feeling nervous. And we've taught her whole life, you can absolutely feel nervous. And if it's something you really want to do, let's try it. I'll be there with you every step of the way. She put that together all by herself just through telling the story over and over and over for 7 years straight.
Yeah. And it kind of disconnects the whole, like, fear, nervousness from not being able to do something. It's the old saying of, bravery isn't not having fear. It's not the absence of fear. Bravery is being afraid and doing it anyways. And that's kind of like what you're doing by telling the story over time. Over time is like, I can be afraid, I can be nervous, and I can still do it.
Especially if it's something that you want to do.
Oh, yeah. Even more so.
Want to do.
Yeah.
God. Yeah. It just takes me to, like, right back to my childhood, where I became such a perfectionist. Like, I didn't have a choice. I was forced to just keep going, to override the nervousness, to override feeling shy. Like, I was a shy kid too, but I didn't have a choice. I was kind of forced out there to keep going, push it down, be a leader, be the best. And I just wonder what it would have felt like if I could have just listened to my body, honestly. Because for so long, I just kept going. And then, like, pushed it all down. And what ended up happening was I felt like physically sick doing a lot of the things because I didn't have a choice. Like, I wish I could have had this amazing space that you guys give your kids to just be who they are and feel what they feel and like listen to that and honor their needs. And I just went to like a breaking point, honestly, a lot of times, and no one would have known because I looked perfect on the outside.
You did. Yeah. As someone who was there, you did look perfect. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really think that if I had had the permission and space to feel what I feel and honor my needs, I would have had less suffering in my life, honestly.
I feel like that's exactly what we're all trying to do, and which makes me so excited about this next parenting generation, because it's finally at the point where it's like, be you, be yourself. Like, you want to be a leader, go be a leader. You want to be out there and just like wild and do it and just like unabashedly, don't even think about it, go do that. If you want to be off to the side and kind of like read a book and go inside, do that. And that's not necessarily how we all were raised. It's like this blanket understanding of being out there and being social is better. And now we're finally at a point where like our kids can be who they are. Like, they can just be who they are.
How incredible is that?
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Okay, let's shift into some questions from you, Big Little Besties. Thank you so much for always submitting questions, by the way.
My favorite part.
I'm anxious to hear your answers.
We don't have a sound effects board, so I gotta be the air horn since you don't have the sound effects.
This first question is from Abby. And Tyler, I'm very curious of your answer, actually.
I'm here.
Your most helpful reframe from marriage counseling.
Oh.
Helpful reframe from marriage counseling.
Oh, I love this.
That's actually a great question.
Yeah, it is, Abby, by the way.
Thank you, Abby. I appreciate the question. Yeah. I think viewing it like everybody goes through their ups and downs in their relationships, and sometimes you're like, they're just out to get me right now. Mm-hmm. They just like wanna stir me up. They're just trying to wind me on up. Kristen's trying to wind me up right now. The biggest reframe you can do is, what if they're not? Ooh. What if they are just doing it just because that's how they feel?
Yeah.
Like, what if she said, oh, the trash didn't get taken out? What if she's saying, oh, the trash didn't get taken out versus, you idiot, you didn't take the trash out?
Piece
I told you.
Crap.
I asked you 5 times to take the trash out.
I can assure you, I'm never trying to wind you up.
I'm pretty sure sometimes you do.
No, I'm really not. I truly am not.
You truly don't. So I think that's the best reframe, is like giving the benefit of the doubt. Don't think the worst in this situation. Mm-hmm. Think of them just thinking the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I know is we went to marriage counseling a handful of times, and I just remember him walking out and he was like, I would pay for that again.
Hell yeah, like, that's a win.
That is a win. Okay, that is a win. So you guys are not in like weekly, I mean, we're in weekly couples therapy. I feel like more people should probably talk about that, because I feel like in the DMs, I see all the time where we're like, your marriage is perfect and your marriage is this, and like, absolutely, like, well, every marriage is
we're
work.
We're incredibly lucky that we can be in like couples therapy together.
Agree.
100%. Privilege. I think a lot of people maybe not be able to, but I think of like, just remembering, like slowing down. I have a problem with that, is like just letting my brain speak first before I've had a chance to process. But if you can like stop for a minute, remember your partner is your partner. That's like a huge crux of a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I just think like taking the stigmatism away from that going to couples therapy.
Yeah. Like, and just having those like very uncomfortable conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're big shover downers.
Big shover downers.
That's why we have to go to couples therapy just to talk about it. Then we like are fine.
Exactly. Thanks, Abby.
Next question is from Susan. Hey, girl.
Hey, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hi. My 2.5-year-old now goes to, quote unquote, her office under the staircase to poop. Is this a sign she's ready to potty train?
Okay. Well, I mean, yes and no. So, yes, we as humans, as we start to get ready to potty train, we start to want privacy. That's just a thing that happens where we start to retreat to private places, a corner, we turn away from everyone else. It's just like a human thing. So yeah, maybe, and also like maybe not, because this is not the only sign for being ready to potty train.
Well, like some kids I know, they do the opposite. They will just like stare you exactly in the eyeballs. Like they don't care. Yeah, they don't need privacy. They just stare you right in the eyeballs. So like, it is not always a sign that they are ready to potty train, but like it can be. Like if they're not doing it, it doesn't mean they're not ready.
Right.
To potty
train. Not the only sign.
Not the only sign, but sure, if you're noticing that and a couple of other signs, yeah, might be ready to potty train.
Okay, last question. This one is from Amy. Tyler, we're gonna throw this one to you actually.
Ooh.
What is your favorite Bravo celebrity?
Thank you for this. Perfect question. Like, this is what I need right before I go to bed. This is perfect because I already know. It's okay. Captain Lee
from Below Deck. Oh, yeah.
The original. Wow. The captain that launched 1,000 ships.
Captain it's an OG. Lee.
Right. Oh, OG. Say. Yeah. He's on the original Below Deck. Now there's 5 Below Decks. It's great because you used to have to wait a whole year for the new season. Mm. Now they just go back to back, season to season. I have Below Deck all year. It's perfect.
But what is your second favorite Bravo celebrity?
Captain Sandy.
Oh my God. What is your favorite non-Below Deck? Yeah. I feel like, by the way, like all men, if they watch Bravo, it's Below Deck, which is great. I mean, we all love Below Deck.
Yeah.
Hashtag Kate. Who's your favorite Bravo celebrity that's not a Below Deck person?
Yeah, pick something else.
Yeah. Who's like your favorite housewife?
I don't have a favorite housewife.
Okay, come on.
Okay.
Dig deep.
It's pretty deep.
I wasn't prepared for this.
Yeah, you don't have to prep for this. It needs to come from the heart.
Okay. Favorite housewife is the new breakout star, Jenna Lyons.
Oh, okay. Yeah, wow. I like her a lot. That's not who I thought. I thought you were going to go with Bryn.
Okay.
I thought you were going to go with Bryn. And then you went with, and they're both like
Bryn's
stars.
Mine.
Yeah.
They are just about that all just golden.
Yeah. I feel like people Bryn are really Jenna upset over the new Housewives of New York City. And like, I'm very here for it.
I
like,
just don't care anymore.
They just want more drama.
want more drama. Yeah. I don't want more drama. I can't take it.
I do, because I'm a Gemini. Make it crazy.
I'm a Pisces. I need some peace. And this show, I need very unentertaining TV.
I'm just happy to be here. Like, I'm just happy to watch anything that you will throw my way.
Jenna Lyons is great.
Yeah. We want more drama.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it Jenna Lyons? Jenna Lyons. Anyway, yeah, she's great. She's just herself. She's just an icon.
Her apartment.
It's great. I love it.
I mean, is that not the theme of the show tonight? Just be you.
Dina, you're so good at you. Segways.
Wow. She did it. She did it. She did it.
Okay. And I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of us
for
letting our kids be who they are and honor their bodies and honor their needs and listen to their feelings.
All I'm hearing is listen to your body. And I'm like, I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry. It is so 9:45 p.m. and I'm looking at this monitor. It's 9:45 p.m.
I have pasta and meatballs in my car.
What?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, you don't know
pasta
this.
You
don't know
this. I'm like, yeah,
I brought some food. It's in my car. I forgot it in there. I'm so hungry.
It's not that you forgot, though. Let's be honest. Like, you don't know this about Dina, is that she's a car food person.
So,
like, when she rolls up, like, we went to Vail one time and she rolled up with, like, at the valet, you know, and like a whole dish of pasta is just sitting on the passenger seat. Like,
it's like a bowl of cereal.
And Kristen, you know me when I travel on an airplane, I have
airplane pizza.
That's right.
Airplane pizza.
That's right.
Sometimes there's like airplane Brussels sprouts. Like, they're homemade, though, you know, like in a foil. Yeah. It's like a full meal. And she just travels with the meal.
I like that.
So when you said that, I was like, oh, yeah, you got to get to your car because we need to eat pasta.
I support that.
Yeah. What are you and I? Like, this is 9:45 p.m. right now. I'm just going to go to bed.
I don't know. I'm sure we have some leftovers.
Okay, maybe this is, we'll take it offline.
Take it offline.
Okay. Big little besties, thank you so much for joining us on this wild, wild ride of this episode and also of parenting. We are so grateful for you. We can't wait to do this again next week. We love you.
Thank you for letting me bust in here, my big little besties.
If you are struggling with toddler or preschooler tantrums, pushback, discipline, picky eating, just all the confusing things, this podcast, we can only scratch the surface. If you need help, our course, Winning the Toddler Stage, is here to help. It is aptly nicknamed the Toddler Manual because it truly has every single thing you could possibly struggle with under the sun between the ages of 1 and 6 within one course. We're not going to do a bunch of workshops. You have to buy the sleep guide and the picky eating guide and the this guide and the that guide. No, everything you could possibly need for ages 1 through 6 is all in this one course. We were never meant to do this parenting thing alone. You deserve to have help. We are here for you. You can find that course at biglittlefeelings.com and be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Big Little Feelings. We give free tips every single day. They might change your life with one free tip.
Thank you so much for being here with us. This has been an Odyssey production, executive produced by Lauren LaGrasso, produced by Daniela Silva, edited by Bob Tabador, and theme music composed by Liz Full. Then studio lighting designed by Shane Sackett and designed by Jackie Shearman. Special thanks to Odyssey Executive Vice President and Head of Podcasts, Jenna Weiss-Berman. And thank you for being here with us. We can't wait till next week.